Okay, we're starting here at the two dots on Samachem and Aleph. Gemara is discussing the simanim of the oaf. We said in the Mishnah that even though min haTorah there are no simanim of the oaf, nevertheless, the Chachamim deduced from the ofot that are tmeot and from the ofot that are tehorot, as well as through the Mesorah, that these are the simanim that are true of a oaf tahor. And now the Gemara says, Tanya, the Vabraita, a Gamlil Omer, Dores ve'ochel biyadua shehu tameh. If it's dores and ochel, then we know for certain that it is tameh. Yesh lo etzba yitzera v'zefek v'karkubano niklaf biyadua shehu tahor. It has the extra finger. That's a three-way machloket. We've discussed a number of times the etzba yitzera, whether it means the etzba that is on the vertical leg, higher up on the leg. Does it mean the etzba that goes behind, that is slightly above the plane of the other etzba'ot? Or does it mean, according to the Ran, the middle etzba is longer than the two next to it? Those are the three different ways to learn the etzba yitera. Obviously, as nafkamina, which we discussed in the past again about nesher, what is the nesher? Minatorah. Vizefik, it has to have a crop. Now, many of the tamei birds have a crop, but it functions differently than the zefik of the kosher birds. In the kosher birds, the zefek is part of the digestion process, whereas by the non-kosher birds, and usually those that are dorsim, the zefek, the crop, works as a backup stomach, and it's extra. If the kurkuban, if the stomach's full, then it pushes or stores it in the crop. But it's not that it's part of the digestion process, it's only a backup, a storage area. Whereas for the kosher birds, the zefek is a part of the digestion process. This is that its gizzard peels off. Again, the membrane that's outside of the kurkuban comes off easily. Not like that, you can tear it off, but it comes off easily, even if maybe you have to use a knife, but it separates easily. Then you know for certain that it's tahor. Machloket Rashi and Tosafot back on Daf Samach Bet about what the din is of this braita. Rashi says this braita is modifying the Mishnah or going on our Mishnah. And basically, Rabbi Gamliel says that there are four simanei tara, just like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says four simanei tara. Also over here, there's four simanei tara. The Reis Bochel is just one of the four simanei tara. Tosafot, on the other hand, learns that if a bird has etzba yitera, a zefek, and kurkono niklaf, that's how you know that's eno dores. So eno dores is defined by the other three. If you know it's dores, it's tameh. If you know it's not dores, then it's tahor. If you don't know, then these other three simanim, if you have all three of these simanim, then for sure it's not dores. And that focuses on the question of what is the real siman here. Tosafot sounds like that dores is the real issue, and these are just simanim to get to the fact that it's eno dores. That's similar to the Ramban al Torah and others who say that the only question about the bird is whether it's dores or eno dores. That's the only thing we're interested in. The other items, the other issues, or other ways that we look at it are just to determine that one factor about dores or eno dores. And that's the view of many of the Rishonim with regards to which birds are kasher, which birds are not kasher. Whereas Rashi believes that dores is just one of the four different simanei tahara, and it's just part of the list. Of course, the Gemara said earlier that you only need one to really be tahor, but Rashi doesn't see dores as being exceptional with regards to the other three simanim. He just sees it as being the same. It says that Rabbi Gamliel is modifying our Mishnah, whereas Tosafot says, Rabbi Gamliel and the Braita clearly differentiates. He makes a statement that dores v'chel biyadua shehu tameh, period. Then, the other three tell you that it's tahor because it's eno dores. V'az Rabbi Tzadok omer, motchim lo chut shel mishicha, he put out a string, it divides up its fingers, two on this side and two on the other side, tameh. Shalosh, lekan, machat lekan, three in front, one in the back, tahor. So now there are three different ways to read Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok. One way to read it is that this is the siman bifnei atzmo. This is an own independent siman. It's the way you want to know. This determines. You have two fingers on one side, two on the other side, tameh. If you have three on one side, one on the other side, most likely tahor, but may not be definitive. It's an additional way to know if it's tameh. If it has two and two, then for sure it's tameh. If it has three and one, then maybe it's tahor. So it would you need other simanim in addition to that. That's most likely the way to read it, if you believe it's an independent siman. It's an independent siman, that means it's an extra siman that tells you that it's tameh. The other two ways to read it.
Yes.
That one way is, some of the Rishonim say that this tells you whether it's an Etzba Yetera. How do you know if it's an Etzba Yetera? Well, if he puts the three in the front and one in the back, then the one in the back is clearly Yetera, because it doesn't function like the other three. He puts two in front and two in the back, that means that he's using the fourth finger the same way he uses the other fingers. And that's the way he holds on to the food, that's the way he's Doris. Those Rishonim believe that Etzba Yetera, this is a way to know whether it's Etzba Yetera or not. The third possibility of learning this is also for Doris. This is the definition of a Doris or not. I mean that when it divides two and two, you know it's a Doris, because that's how it grabs its food. If it's three and one, that's not so functional for grabbing the food. You really need the two and two to make it to grab the fruit. So that's what two and two would make it into a Doris. Those are three ways to look at this memra of Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok. Either it's its own independent siman, or it's a siman to telling us what is an Etzba Yetera, to determine Etzba Yetera, or it's another siman for Doris. Again, that would go well with the Rishonim that believe that the only thing that matters is Doris. So here's another way to figure out that whether the animal is Doris or not. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, this is an additional siman that we haven't seen before, Kol Ofo Kolet Min Avir Tamei. Any bird that catches its food out of the air is tamei. Rashi here says if you throw it food in the air, it'll grab it in its beak out of the air. So the Gemara says tziparto. The tziparto, which translates loosely as the hummingbird. Nami miklat kalto. That's a kosher bird, and yet it grabs its food out of the air. So how could you make this as a determination or a siman of whether the bird is tamei? Amar Abaye kolet ve'ochel ka'amrinan. I'm not saying that it just grabs it out of the air, but it grabs it out of the air and then eats it in the air. Kosher birds, they will, for instance, a chicken, will grab its food out of the air, but then it will always place it down in front of itself first and then eat it. It will not eat it right out of the air. As opposed to the non-kosher birds, which will catch it in the air and swallow it out of the air. This is another siman. If it lives amongst the tamei birds, it's tamei. Im Torim, if it lives amongst the Tahor birds, it's Tahor. Kiman, who's this like? Ki Rabbi Eliezer. Detanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo lechinam, halach zarzir, etzel o'rev. It's not for naught that the zarzir, which translates loosely as the starling, goes to the raven. El mipnei shehum yino, because it's a subspecies or because it's tamei. Afilu temer rabbonon, the Gemara says, you can even say this in the Shita of the Rabbonon, that shochein vid nidmeh kaminan. We need two factors. We need shochein, that it lives amongst those birds, vinidmeh, and that it's similar. Not just that it lives amongst those birds that are tameh, or lives amongst those tahor, but it's also nidmeh, it has similarities to them, and that would make it tameh. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says simply the fact that they live together already is an indication whether it's tameh or tahor. Chamim require living together plus additional items that make it look like they are subspecies, or they have some connection between them, some other similarities. As the Gemara says, Achimim can go either way. They can go like Rabbi Elazar and says that it's all about living together. Or they can go like the Chachamim. When they say we mean living together, we mean living together and they have other similarities. And that's what would make them Tamei or Tahor. Right, so that concludes the little piece in our Mishnah of the birds. Now we move on to the Chagavim, to the locusts, the grasshoppers. So now by the Chagavim, we also don't have exact Simanim in the Torah. We have some of the Simanim in the Torah, but not all of the simanim in the Torah. And Mishnah tells us that the simanim of the chagav, the simanim of the locust, are, number one, that it has arba raglayim, has four legs, arba kenafayim, has four wings, it has kartzulim, it has jumpers, and that its wings are mechased rubo, that its wings cover the rove of the body. Those are the four simanim that we find in the Mishnah with regards to the chagav. Again, the Mishnah says, "Chagavim kosheshen arba raglayim, arba kenafayim, kartzulim," and it has the jumpers, kenafav chovim et rubo, and that its wings cover the robe of the body. Now, the Gemara says, when it says "my rubo," what does it mean the robe of the body? Some of you don't have robe or kol. It's the robe of the length of the grasshopper or the locust. Varmila, and some say robe hekefo. Hekefo meaning the circumference. Does it have to cover the length of the body or around the circumference of the body? What's the robe here? Does the robe mean its length? Or does the robe mean around the body? It covers the robe around the body. Which one is it? So, Amarav Papa, Hilkach, since we don't know which one it is, Ve'inan Rubo, Rovar ko, ubinan rovar kifo. We have to need both. The wings have to cover the rove, the length of the grasshopper locust, and also the circumference of the body. It has to cover the rove of that as well. Now just to note, Rapapa is l'shitato. Rapapa is very interesting that throughout Shas, Rapapa has a similar MO, which is that anytime there is a machloket, he says, Hilkach, we'll do both of them. We've had it in Chulin a number of times. We've had it already in Chulin. We'll have it again in Chulin. As well as it shows up in other places in Shas. So just give you the examples. We had it in Chulin earlier on Dach Mem Vav. Then when it came to the Mara, when it came to the liver, we said that, Kezayit Shamru B'Makom Mara. And we said that the Kezayit, it has to be there, has to be B'Makom Mara. So B'Makom Shichaya Amra Papa. So where do we need it? Where do you need the kzayit of the marah that's left over? Do we need it in the makom of the marah? Or do you need it in the makom shi chaya? So amara papa yukach, bina kzayit ba makom marah, or bina kzayit makom shi chaya. Need kzayit in both places. That's Rav Papa. We have Rav Papa here in Ardap. Later on in Chulin and Ayin Vav, we have a similar question, again, about nishbar etzem, v'yatza lechutz, im ora basar chufim et rubo, mutar. The ora and the basar cover the robe of the etzem, then it's okay. Kamarubo. So one says Rov Ovyo, and one says Rov Heke Fo. Amar Papa, Hilkach Binan, Rov Ovyo, Verena, Rov Heke Fo. So that's here just in Chulin. We have three instances where Rav Papa does this. What's more interesting is that Rav Papa in other places in Shas, not related to halachic issues, but related to Brachot, does a very similar thing. And that is the Gemara in Brachot, and Daf Yud Aleph, says that when it comes to Birkat HaTorah, what Bracha is Birkat HaTorah? So we have Rabbi Yehuda Meshmol Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvah V'Tzivanu L'Sok V'Divrei Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Misayim B'Hachi. Rabbi Yochanan continued and he says Harev Na, the way that we have it. Rav Noam Nuno Amar Asher B'Chavanu Mikol Amim. So you have three opinions what Birkat HaTorah is: L'Sok V'Divrei Torah, Harev Na, and then Asher B'Chavanu. The Gemara ends Ilkach Limrinhu L'Kuhu. Therefore, we say all of them, which is what we're knowing. We're knowing to say all three of the brachot. Over there, if you look in the Rekiv Eger, he tells you that the Rif and the Rosh, Girsa in the Gemara is, Amara Papa, Hilkach, Limrinu Lekuhu. Therefore we say all the Brachot. Gemara Brachot, Daf Nun Tet. On the what Bracha do you make when you see the Keshet? When you see a rainbow? Mai Mivarech. So the opinion is, Baruch, Zucher Abrit. But Matnita Dano, Rabbi Shmuel Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Roko, Mer Neman Berito, V'Kayam B'Mamaro. So different opinions about what it is. Amra Papa, Hilkach Nimrinu Latabayo, Baruch Zucher Abrit, Veneman Birito, Bekayam Bamaro. The bracha that we make on the rainbow is the combination. Again, Rav Papa bringing the combination down. Again on Nuntet, but Nuntet on Mudbet. The Gemara says, with regards to the bracha of rain, when you see rain for the first time, it's also found in Ta'anit, Daf Vov, that when you see rain for the first time, what is the bracha that you make? So the Gemara says, "Modi menach melach Hashem Elokeinu al kol tipa b'tipa asheret olanu." Rabbi Yochanan Masayim b'Hachi, "Idu finu malei shirak hayom shirenu rino akamon galav ad kel yazvenu rachamecha Hashem Elokeinu v'lo azbunu baruch rov ha'odot." Rov ha'odot v'lo kol ha'odot amarava ema kel ha'odot. Not rov ha'odot, but rather kel ha'odot. Amarav papa hilkach nimrinu l'tervayu. Say both kel ha'odot v'rov ha'odot. Again, a similar idea. Brachot Daf Samach. In the bracha that we say, again, another bracha that we say every day. What bracha do you say when you emerge from the bathroom? So, Amarav, Rofei Cholim. Amar Shmuel, Kashavino Abba, the Kule Alma Ktire, Ela Rofei Kol Basar. Rav Sheshet Amar, Umafli Lasot. Amar Papa, Hilkach Namir, Latavai, Rofei Kol Basar, Umafli Lasot. Another combination. We have the Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos is very similar to Chulin. Question about when is it okay to light a fire before Shabbos and leave it on Shabbos. So there it says, by Chulin, outside of the Mikdash, you have to have the robe of the log catch fire. So everyone wants to know how much of the log has to catch fire. Rav Amar Rov Ovyo. If it's thickness, Rav Amar Rov Hekefo. Rav Papa says again, Hilkach, Vinan Rov Ovyo, Uvinan Rov Hekefo. The last one is in Megillah. Megillah, the Bracha Achrona on the Megillah, which is Apiyah Minhag. So over there, there's a machloket about what the bracha should be. So, Baruch Ata Hashem HaNifrad Yisrael Mikol Tzareihem is the first opinion. And then, Rova Amar HaKelo Moshiach. Amar HaPapa, Hilchach neminu l'tavaya, which is the way we make the bracha on the Megillah, Baruch Atah Hashem, and Yifrah Yisrael mikol tzareihem, Hakel HaMoshiach. So you see, Rav Papa is consistent throughout Shas, both in areas where we have differences of opinions about brachot, but also about differences of opinions here, about how much, that Rav Papa always tries to incorporate everyone, to try to capture both of them. And so then Rav Papa over here says, no surprise, when we have a machokas, whether it's Rav Kro or Rav Kefo, Rav Papa says, Hilkach binyanu tavayu, that we'll have both of them. This is really Rav Papa's shita throughout Shas. Right, Tan Rabbanan, Elo Achshav, what happens if he doesn't have right now? He doesn't have his jumper legs right now. But atid legadel lachazman, they will grow in after time. Kagon azachal, just like the zachal. Now zachal, it's hard to know what the Gemara is referring to over here by the zachal, because zachal is a caterpillar in modern Hebrew. But some sort of zachal, some sort of crawling locust, arbet, has to be over here that they're referring to. Mutar, then it's okay. So how do we know this? Rav Elazar Rav Yossi Omer, Asher lo kira'ayim. Afal pi shein lo achshav, even though he doesn't have now, bati the gadel achar zman. That even though he doesn't have them right now, but they will grow in after time. So if you look in the Pasuk writes, right, Achet zet ochlu mikol sheretz of, holech al arba, Asher lo, the kri is lo with a vav, that has he has these jumpers that let him move around over the land. But the ktiv, what's written in the Torah, is lamed aleph, lo. So that's the drasha. Asher lo kira'ayim, that now he does not have them, but will have them in the future. And that is the drasha. It's very similar to the drasha by Arei Choma. By Arei Choma, you have the same type of kri and ktiv. Yaser asher lo choma, that he has a choma. Their lamed vav means it has a choma, but the ktiv is lamed aleph lo choma, and that teaches you that even if it had a choma, but the choma is no longer there, it's still classified as an arei choma or batei arei choma. And same with Megillah, it's required. It's still an ir choma, even though it does not have the wall today, as long as it originally did. And that comes out of the same kri and ktiv, asher lo choma, very similar to what we have here, asher lo kri mimal liriglav. Right now, Gemara asks, my zachal, and Rabbi Iskarin. Again, some form of locust. I don't have an exact definition of what it is, but it's something that obviously grows its jumper legs in at a later time. Tara banan. So when it comes to these locusts, which ones can you eat? So the pasuk says that the elu mehem techelu et arbe lemino, veta salam leminehu, veta chargol leminehu, veta chagav leminehu. So it gives you a list of four types. But then after each one of them, it says, lemino, lemineo, lemineo, lemineo. What's the extra lemino, lemineo, lemineo? What is that coming to teach you? So we're going to have a first braita, which is really the sifra. The sifra, which is more or little called Tana Debe Rav, because it's sifra Debe Rav. So they first darshan it this way. Arbe, what's the definition of that? That's govai, which is the classic locust, the migratory locust. Salam, ze rishon. Rishon is the bald locust. Chargol is a nipul. That's the grasshopper. Chagav is a gedian, or gedian, which is the cricket. These are all loose translations of what they are. So, ma tamalom are lemino, lemineo, lemineo, lemineo. Okay, you listed me the four types. Why do I have the additional words, lemineo, after each one of them, and lemino after the first? Dalapamim, navi, that comes to include. So et arbe lemino, we include the tziporat akramim, the bird of the vineyards. The next one, the salam lemineu, will include the yochana yirushalmit. The chagol lemineu will include the artsuvia. And the chagav lemineu will include the razbanit. So again, these are all types of locust, subspecies of those that are included in them, meaning that the subspecies of arbe, Tziporat HaKramim is a subspecies. Yochana HaRishalmit is a subspecies of Salam. And the Artsuvya is a subspecies of Chagol. And the Razvanit is a subspecies of the Chagav. So that's the way Tana Dvei Rav, the Sifra, learns this Pasuk. Now we have the Dvei Rav Yishmael, who learns it totally differently. Tomorrow's daf will start on Mai Naf Kamina. What's the difference between them? Right now we're going to spend the time on Tana Dvei Rav Yishmael. Where does Rav Yishmael learn it? These are klalim and pratim. We're not just including one item. We're not just saying, oh, here, one luminehu, let's add in one more item. What we have here are klalim and pratim. And when we have klalim and pratim that interact, then we end up with a limut. And that's what's going to happen here. Arbe. So, like we said before, the arbe is a govai. Limino. What does limo do? Lavit, sipora, takramim. Similar to the tenet bei rav. Ein li ela haba, ve'ein lo gabachat. So now, once I have this inclusion of the arbe, and everything that goes along with the arbe, I can include anything that doesn't have ein lo gabachat. So now, gabachat can be translated in one of two ways. Gabachat, that's found in the Torah, by the Mitzorah, means bald. So that means, in the Gabacha does not have a bald head. So that's one possibility. That's the way Rashi learns it. There are others that learn that Gabachat means a lump or a hump on the back. That means the Gabachat. So now, I only have here, Abba, but in the Gabachat Abba. V'yesh lo Gabachat minayin. What happens if it does have this Gabachat? Either it has this hump, according to Rashi, it's bald. How do I know that's also included here? Tam lomar, sal'am. Says the sal'am. Zenipul. Which was different than the way the Tana Debei Rav learned, because they learned Salam Zerishon. Over here, he's learning that the Salam is the Nipul. Liminehu, what do we do with that? Lavi et ha-Ushkaf. That includes the Ushkaf. Ve'en li ala haba, ve'en lo gabachat. En lo gabachat would be the case of the Arbe. Haba, ve'esh lo gabachat. Haba, ve'en lo zanav. But now I have a case where it does have a gabachat. But en lo zanav, it has no tail. Haba. How do I know if it also has a tail? Tamalomar, chagol, zerushon. Right, it's not saying that each one, we'll see in a second that he basically learns that it's a klal, prato, klal. The Gemara is going to come back to it. The Gemara is going to ask. Here we just have the right to lay it out. The Gemara is going to explain to us what it means in a second. Where we have the Tana Bei Rav said the salam was the rishon. Over here, we have the chagol being the zerushon. Limineu, lavieta, karsafat, veta shachlanit. To include these other locusts as well. The Rashi notes that it includes not just them as well, but the other items that were included by Tana Debei Rav as well. So now, ve'en li ala ba, ve'en lo gabachat. We only have a case where it doesn't have a gabachat, which is the case of the Arbe. Aba, ve'esh lo gabachat, comes and we have a gabachat, which is the case of the salam. Aba, ve'en lo zanav, but there it doesn't have a tail. Aba, ve'esh lo zanav. So now I have a case where it's Yeshlo Zanav, which is the case of the Chargol. Above, Ein Rosho Aruch. But that's a case where it doesn't have a long head. Above, Rosho Aruch Minayin. What happens if you have a long head? Where do I know that from? A marked. And now here it comes down. David, to explain what you... Hariyata Dan Bin Yanav Mishloshtam. Let's have a common denominator between the three of them. Lo Yirei Arbeh Kerei Har Chargol. V'lo Yirei Chargol Kerei Be Arbeh. The Arbeh and the Chargol are not the same. Velo shnehem kerei salam. And they're not like the salam. Velo rei salam kerei shnehem. And salam's not like all of them. Because each one of them has a unique item to it. The arbe has the fact that it doesn't have either a bald head or that it doesn't have the hump on the back. The salam has the unique aspect. It doesn't have a tail to it. The chargol has the tzad that it does have a tail, right? But it has a short head. So all of these are unique items to each one of them. So atzad shaveh shaven, what's the common enter between them? Sheish lo dali raglayim, they have four legs. Ve'arba kanafayim, four wings. Ve'katzulim, and it has jumpers. Ve'kanafav chofim et rubo, and its wings cover the robe of its body. Af, so therefore all, kol sheish lo arba raglayim, and it has four legs. Ve'arba kanafayim, and four wings. Vikazulayim and the jumpers, uchnavav chufim et rubo, and its wings cover the robe of its body, all of those should be included in those that are kasher. Valo at tzirtzur hazeh yeshlo arba raglayim. We have the tzirtzur, which the Gemara knew for certain was a non-kosher locust, and yet it has all of these simanim. Arba raglayim, it has four legs, dal knafayim, four wings, vikazulayim, and it has these jumpers, uchnavav chufim et rubo, and its wings cover the robe. Yochei mutar, so maybe that should be mutar. Tamalomar chagav, that's the last of the ones mentioned here. So what does it do with chagav? Shishmo chagav. It has to be called a chagav. That's the definition here. Ishmo chagav, yochei bo kol simanim alalu. If its name's a chagav and doesn't have these simanim, maybe it should be included, as long as it's called a chagav. Tamalomar leminayu. Achei bo kol simanim alalu. So you need both. You need it to be called a chagav, as well as these four simanim. It's interesting here, this actually presents most of the problem for eating grasshoppers or locusts today, is the fact that we need a mesora, that it's called the chagav. Without a mesora, you can't eat them. Aside from that, there's a Rashi here that also presents a problem with this regards to the kartzulim. Regards to the jumpers, Rashi says that the jumpers are attached to the head of the grasshopper or the locust. And all of our grasshoppers and locusts don't have that. Their jumper legs are attached to the midsection of the body, not to the head of the body. So because of that, there were many who at one point had eaten locusts or grasshoppers and had a mesora, but after they saw that Rashi said that it has to be up at the front, that the kartzulim are attached at the front of the body, they said, oh, none of our grasshoppers have that, and therefore they must not be kosher. There are others, and many that defend the practice of the mesora that they had in Morocco and other in Tayman and all those places to eat the locust, and said that Rashi is not coming to say that the legs are necessarily attached at the head of the locust, but rather, as opposed to other animals, where the hind legs always are attached to the rear of the body, when it comes to the grasshopper, the locust, the hind legs are towards the front, meaning that they're in the midsection, they're not in the rear of the body. And that's what it means that Rashi says in the front. Front doesn't mean literally the front or the head, it just means forward of where they would normally be found. So they solved that problem. So now what we have is basically a definition, according to the Tanur of Rabbi Shmuel, you have a klal uprato klal, we'll see in a second, that'll be the case, but we have a definition of what the simanim are, and when those simanim plus chagav, then you'll know whether you can eat it or not. Whereas Tanur Rabbi Rav has a much more narrow description, they say you have these four types, plus the mineo includes some other items as well, some other which we described on the first demo, those items that are included. So now the Gemara wants to understand this a little better. Parach Rav Achai. Rav Achai says, I have a problem here. My lahanach, those three that I have here, shkenin and roshom aruch. There is a common denominator between these three types of locust or grasshoppers, the arbes, salam, and chagol, is that none of them have a long head. They all have a short head to them. So then, if that's the case, that should be the tzara shaveh also. That should be a common denominator between them. And in order to be included, you would also have to have a short head. The chitema came into shavu bedila dalet simanim maitinan velo parchinan. So what are you going to suggest? Since they have four common items, that's enough. I don't have to worry about the last one. I don't have to worry about this fifth one. Iachi chagol nami. So then, why do I need the word chagol at all? The shavuluhu lo lichtov. The chagol I could drop it totally. I could just have the arbeh and the salam, and say, okay, what's the common denominator then? B'tardemi arbeh v'salam. The common denominator between arbeh and salam is that they have four legs, four wings, jumpers, and their wings cover the robe of the body. So I should be able to include the chagol. Ah, what about the fact that the chagol has a tail? So the chagol is unusual that it has a tail to it. So then how can I include it? Because it has the four common denominators, but also has a tail. But if you say it's not exact, if you just have the four, then don't worry about that last one. Then I should have been able to include the chagol. The fact that the Torah writes chagol shows you that it's makbid, that it must be all of these four items, and these four items, and not you just leave out the fifth, or you leave out something extra. Well, if that extra thing is she'en rosho aruch, that they all have short heads, that means that rosho aruch, if they have a long head, then it should be problematic. So Ela Amar Rav Achai, so now Gemara reinterprets this whole Tanna debate, Rabbi Shmuel, and this will be the jumping ground for what we do tomorrow. Salam yiteirahu. Salam is extraneous. Lo dichtov rachmana salam. Leave out the salam entirely. B'teite me'arbev me'chagol. You could include it from arbev and chagol. To my parachto. Mal arbev dein lo gabachat. The arbev doesn't have either the bald head or the hump. Chagol yesh lo gabachat. The chagol does have that. Mal chagol yesh lo zanav. The chagol does have a tail. Hari arbev dein lo zanav. The arbev doesn't have that. Salam dichtiv rachmana lamali. So what do I need the salam? I can have the tzara shavesh, and the combinator between them is that you have the four simanim. So im einu inyan legufo, tnei inyan rosho aroch. So the salam being extraneous, since we don't need it for the salam itself, because you're going to learn that out from the arbeh and the chagol. Now once I have that, I can say that the extraneous salam comes to teach me that rosho aroch, even when its head is long, that we include it. So now basically what you have here, according to the Tanna of the Beis Shmuel, and this is what we'll see tomorrow's daf, it's that you have a klal uprat uklal. According to Tosafot, the klal uprat uklal revolves only around the arbeh and the chagol. You have a klal which is Then etar be, which is a prat, and etar chargol, which is also a prat. Limino is the klal, or the mineyu is a klal. So you have a klal, a prat, a klal. Between the two of those, the arbe and the chargol, I can create a binyanav. From that binyanav, I'll know the four simanim. Salam, which is unnecessary. That teaches me also that even if its head is long, we don't worry about it. Even though the common denominator here is that their heads are short, salam comes to even heads longer, okay? The word chagav, which is also extraneous, comes to teach me that it has to have a name, chagav. Without the name chagav, it would not be included. So that's the Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel, the way he's learning it. The one thing to note here, it's an important Rashi as well as Tosfot, when the Gemara asks over here, Pachitema, that you can make it like, okay, if they just have four things in similar, in common, that should be enough. Leave out the fifth thing. Usually when we say chal prat to chal, it has to be ke'ena prat. It has to be similar to the item that's in the middle. But how similar did it have to be? That is actually a machlokas in the Gemara in Erevin, about how similar it has to be. The machlokas in the Gemara in Erevin, Tosfot brings it over here, and Rashi brings it over here. It depends on which one do you think is dafka. Do you think the klal kama, the first klal, is dafka? Or do you think the second klal is dafka? And the extraneous one is the first klal, or is the extraneous one the second klal? The difference between them being, if you look in Rashi, it says b'chiteima. Svirle, gemet the damele b'mixat, marbinele, kena prat. Kide plige tanai ba'alma, we have machlokas tanaim. The first klal is the real one. That's specific. It'd be a klal prat. The dinner of klal prat is aim b'chlal mashe per prat. Then you would have just learned out klal prat. Then you only have the prat. Period. The klal prat comes shu mosif al prat. Midi the damile the prat b'chol stadim comes include something that's similar to it in every way. V'ika the man da'amar b'chra dafka. It really is prat u'chlal. Prat uchlal means that you add on. Whatever the prat, the klal comes to be mosif, add additional items. Then, bitrabu kol milei. Then everything's included. Hani klal akamo, then what's the first klal come to do? Why, that's superfluous, that's the extra limud. Mahave bichlal uprat, and ute midei delo damilei de gamrei. Comes to exclude things that are not similar to it in any way possible. But as long as it's somewhat similar to it, that's enough to be included. So you have a machloket tanaim, as to how similar it does it need to be. So what the suggestion of the Gemara was is that, okay, so it's not totally similar to it, but at least it has four of the items in common, based on the one who says that the Kalabatra is dafko. That one says that, okay, as long as it's just close enough, that's good enough. So the Gemara says you can't say that, because we have, the Torah wouldn't have to written the word chargol at all then. Because if you think it just has to do with being kind of similar, then you could have just said, chargol nami de shavalu lo lichtov. The chargol you shouldn't have to read at all, but teitim arbe b'salam. You can learn it out from the arbe and the salam. Alright, the arbe and the salam don't have a tail. Okay. You don't need it to be exactly alike. We're holding that the klala batra is dafko, so I don't need it to be exactly alike, so it'll be fine. The fact that the Torah writes chargol teaches you or shows you that the Torah needs it to be exactly alike. And it's looking, I mean, not perfectly, but almost everything identical. Otherwise, it's not going to include it. Because if it didn't, if it was looser and it used the klal batra dafka, then it could have included chargol, wouldn't have to written it. The fact that the Torah went out of its way to write chargol shows you that the Torah is looking for a much more specific overlap between the items. That means that it's learning klal kama is dafka. The first klal is dafka, and then only things that are very similar. Well, if that's the case, then when it comes to the Rosh Aruch with the long head, I can't just say ignore the long head. I need something in particular to include it. And that's where the Gemara moves on to this drasha, where we can learn it out of Arbeh and Chargol, and then the Salam will be included from a Tzadah Shaveh. And if that's the case, Salam is extraneous, and Salam comes to teach us this Rosh Aruch. What we'll deal with tomorrow is what's the nafka mina between the Tana Debei Rav and the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, which one in the end will be Rosh Aruch. This long head will actually be the difference between them. And so we'll see that in tomorrow's Gemara. It just goes a little bit further down the daf, so I don't want to do all of tomorrow's Amud in that manner. So we'll stop over here.